Let's bring our lives to God in prayer. O God of life and love and light, our maker, sustainer, and giver of every good gift, as to you we bring our thanks this day. We're grateful for those who introduced us to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus and shared with us his love. We're so glad to be part of the living body of Christ, which we're all a part. For you, living Word, who entered our dark world and called us into the warmth and comfort of your healing light, we thank you. And God, we're grateful for the people in our lives who reflect your light and love, who incarnate your light and love. We hear it in shared laughter and lively conversation, cheers of encouragement, a whisper of blessing and love, and words of surprising forgiveness. We see it in the child's drawing, in the decorated cookie, in Oma's smile and Grandpa's wink, the flower arrangement, and steamy soup. We see it and smell it. And we feel it in calloused hands, in the warm hug and blanket tucked around us, and the support of another's arm when the way is hard. O God, our days are blessed and bright because of your many gifts of love to us. But we're mindful too today and remember to your care those whose experience of today is dark and cold. So we entrust to you those whose day has been darkened by sickness and the hardships of growing older. The child's day darkened by abuse and neglect. The teenager's day darkened by worries that have been ridiculed. And the parent's day that has been darkened by raising their children alone. And the one whose day has been darkened by the loss of work or early retirement. And those whose day has been darkened by being shut in. And we remember too those who've been shut out. God, make us instruments of your love and light in the world, to penetrate the dark places where love's been lost, and grant us courage to risk failure, ridicule, and ungratefulness as we seek to love unconditionally as you've loved us. O love that fires the sun, keep us burning in the name of the light of the world, Jesus our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is taken from Luke's gospel. We'll hear chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. Hear the word of God. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, Pastor Phil invited us to celebrate the inevitable and respond with joy to the gift of God's redeeming love in Jesus. And he reminded us, too, that for many in this season of glad tidings, joy can be fleeting and elusive for those who are finding the circumstances of life far from joyful, with job losses, physical ailments, and the grief of the loss of loved ones and friends. So, while we negotiate our way through halls with boughs of holly and sounds of silver bells and jingle bells and fa-la-las, we can find it hard to be receptive to people's desire for us to be merry this Christmas. And speaking of Mary, how can we rejoice with Mary? The Mary we just heard about in our gospel lesson. Really, how can Mary be merry and joyous and grateful in the midst of daunting and upsetting and life-altering news when she has an angel and a beloved cousin claiming how blessed she is? Earlier this week, I watched one of the latest depictions of Mary's life in the Netflix movie entitled Mary. And like many film interpretations of biblical stories, producers fill in the blanks and bend the narrative using a lot of poetic license and even dubious and unknown sources to retell the events of Scripture. But at least the recurrent theme of Mary's blessedness was something the makers of the film highlighted throughout the story. And it caused me to think afresh about the nature of blessing and being blessed. In a meeting on Friday with Charlie, we were on a phone call. I happened to sneeze, and before I was able to follow it up with my customary "bless me," Charlie was quick to respond to my "'tis the season for sneezing" gesture with the words, "Bless you." And I'm thinking, after considering the story of Mary, you'll want to be careful around whom you sneeze, not because of what you might give them, but rather because of what they might want for you. God bless you. Well, today's gospel lesson really challenges us to ask ourselves if being blessed is really what we want. It forces me to question my assumptions about blessing or being blessed. And my assumptions have been reinforced over the years, you know, with all those Christmas cards, pictures of the blessed event that we are celebrating. And they do a great job of romanticizing and distorting and sanitizing Christmas. And then now that the postal strike is over, you will soon be pulling out from long-awaited envelopes those Christmas cards to display in your home for the new year. And there will be Mary, you know, dressed in blue and glowing softly, right, with the interested cow and donkey in the background. We'll find ourselves gazing upon the demure and unfazed, no worse for wear mother, and the no crying he makes child, right? And we'll say to ourselves, oh, how honored and blessed Mary was to be the mother of our Lord. But honestly, I find myself questioning all this when I think of a young teenage girl whose pregnancy would at least ruin her social status and could potentially cost her life. To believe that this pregnancy was a fulfillment of God's promise must have taken great, great courage. Mary may have understood what this birth would be about, but others in the village certainly wouldn't. And then there's the husband-to-be. He's looking for an escape clause, right? And there's the long, far from comfortable trek to a small town where there's no room, no bed, and the pain of childbirth in a less than hospitable place. Is this blessedness? Is this the favor of God of which the angel spoke? And then as soon as the baby is born, Joseph and Mary become refugees. And then when they finally get back home from Egypt, Mary is told in the temple that a sword will pierce her heart. And then she watches her son distance himself from the family. And then she watches her son die like a criminal. You call that blessed? Friends, the world thinks God's favor is in ease, pleasure, and prosperity. Yet Jesus said, "How blessed are you when you are poor? Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you when you weep." See, I find it interesting, now that I really think about it. You know, Jesus always showed a distinct preference for those who are marginal in society, the poor, the sick, and the sinners. No wonder, then, that the life of the Lord of life should begin in a barn, in an animal's dinner plate. Now, you can't start life much lower than that. So, what does it mean to be blessed? Someone once said, "Blessed is belief. If we trust, there are no limits to what God can do." So how do you have faith? How do you believe? C.H. Dodd wrote of faith, saying, Faith is an act which is the negation of all activity, a moment of passivity out of which the strength for action comes, because in it, God acts. I'll say it again because it's pretty loaded. Faith is an act which is the negation of all activity, a moment of passivity out of which the strength for action comes, because in it, God acts. So then, friends, faith is a posture. It is a heart craving for God, desiring God. Now, as a pastor, I have to say I am privileged to hear the testimony of folks on a regular basis, and I have to say there is a common refrain in the stories I hear. I'm struck by the consistent experience of people of faith who say how transformed they were in their journeys of faith when in their passivity, their moment of surrender, their moment of craving, and the emptying of themselves and their volition, that they knew and experienced God acting, God moving, and God moving in. Faith, then, is the act of not depending on our own actions. Even Jesus himself sought the Father's care, the Father's counsel and provisions as he sought to minister to those around him, within and without his circle of friends. So hence, faith is the surrender of self to the Spirit of God, which takes hold of us, possesses us, and brings to fulfillment in us the faith which is God's gift and opens the way for his continued blessing. Elizabeth calls Mary blessed because she's willing to act for a new creation even before she even sees any evidence of its reality. And Mary is blessed in believing, in trusting, in actively surrendering herself to God's will and way, to God's acting in and through her. So, my question today is, do you want to be blessed? Do I want to be blessed? Yes, I want to believe, and I want to trust, and I want to let go and let God. Yes, I want to be found within God's will. The world can keep its painlessness and its pleasure and its prosperity and its security. For blessed are the lives which have been given something great to do and great to bear. And even though the living breaks them, they know God's favor. Their souls magnify the Lord. Their spirits do rejoice in God their Savior. Yes, bless me, bless you. Let us pray. God of love, self-giving Spirit, we thank you for entering our world in love, for coming to save us, to heal us, to lift us up, for coming to call us from death to life anew. And we're grateful for the persistent faithfulness of your Son, who in the weakness of flesh resolutely sought to show us the extent to which you love us and make possible the transforming work of your loving presence in each of our lives. Thank you for entering every age amid the clamor and distractions to bring peace and light within the walled dark cities of our own sorrows and perplexities. Stir within us the rhythm of a rejoicing spirit, which will move us to accomplish great things for the furtherance of your kingdom. Use us, we pray, to turn the agonies of people into anthems of praise to the one we're privileged to serve and to know as Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.